First of all, I want to commend you on your faithfulness to come to the Lord's house and to continue to worship and serve Him in the way that I believe the New Testament church called upon us to worship and serve, to sing and to pray and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This song talks about faith being the anchor of the soul. The subject on my mind is our faith this morning, and the Bible has a lot to say about faith. We continue on our way because of God's faith. It says in verse 2, if the pathway be rough as we journey along, then our faith makes us look far ahead. You know, isn't that so true? How many times does life get difficult to the point that sometimes you wonder how you're going to go on? How are you going to manage all these problems and these tragedies and these challenges that we stand before us? But when we look far ahead, we look to a place where death will no longer have power over you or any of your loved ones, where the sleepless nights you incur will never exist again, where the tragedies of your friends and your neighbors, the loss of work, or whatever it is that continues to be a problem in your life, they will be gone. And it's because of that, I believe, that you and I are able to go on. I commend you for your faithfulness. And if God would bless for a little time, we're going to begin to look at that subject of faith. You know, faith is very interesting. And the actual word of faith in the Greek, translated into English, means persuasion. It means to be persuaded of something. Now, there's a fallacy among Christians that the Bible declares is not so, and that is that all men have faith. Many people believe that this faith exists in every human being, and that if we can just go down deep enough inside of that person, if we can just tap into that faith and cause it to come to the surface, then we can preach the gospel, we can tell them about Jesus, and they will begin to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible doesn't teach that. That's man in his own speculation, and that's man in his wishful thinking. The Bible is contrary to that teaching. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, you know, in verse 1 says, Paul says that they were praying that the word of the Lord would have free course and that it would be glorified. That was his prayer, that God's word would have free course and it would be glorified, even as it is with you in verse 1, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, when we think about faith in that respect, in that aspect, somebody might say, well, I know lots of people that have faith. Do they have faith in God? This is what's under consideration here. They may have faith in themselves. They may have faith in the world that they live in, or the wisdom of the world, or they may have faith in science or whatever's going on, but do they have faith in God? See, I believe that if you have faith in God, it's because there's been a work of grace done in your heart. There's been something that's taken place in your life that was supernatural. It wasn't something that existed in you that some man came along or some preacher came along or anyone else came along and by their individual efforts caused this faith to surface, to rise up and me to express unto them the greatness of God, and all of a sudden they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll touch on that as we go along, but we're talking about faith that is in God. Now, I classify faith in maybe two different ways. I want to break it down in two different ways this morning anyway. What I call inward faith and what I call outward faith. This inward faith is something that you and I have that was given to us by God Himself. And I believe the Bible teaches that. It's very clear on that. It's not something that you were born with, that some man was able to tap into or speak to you. Or are you able to tap into it yourself and cause it to surface? And then all of a sudden, God meant something to you and you begin to walk in His ways and you begin to walk by faith. If you walk by faith, it's because you've had faith given unto you as a gift. It was through faith. In the Bible, when it speaks about being through faith, it speaks about the actions of Almighty God. By faith is our actions. Now, as we consider this morning, The easy and the simple definition of faith is persuasion. If you're persuaded that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is God, it's not by something that already existed in you. If you believe that, it's because you've been born of the Spirit of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not whosoever will believe or whosoever will come to believe. But if you believe, it's the very evidence that at some time in your life, God touched you with sovereign grace. He touched your heart. He made you alive. He quickened you. He brought you into a relationship with him and made you alive. Now, another definition given to us in Hebrews chapter 1 is very simple, and it's one that we spoke of in this song. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance literally means assurance. It's the assurance of hope that you and I have. You have a hope that goes beyond this world when things are rough and tough, when they're not going your way. Do you have a hope in Jesus Christ? Do you know that that's an evidence that you are his child? Faith is not something that you go out and get. The Bible clearly states that, and we'll look at it. It is not something that you obtain or that already existed within you. It is something that is given to you by God Almighty, and it's a gift. It's a gift. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you know that hope, that earnest expectation you have, come from the faith that God gave you? To understand what he had done for you, that Jesus Christ had died for you, and that he rose again for your justification, and that one day we will live in this place called paradise. We call it heaven more often than not. The troubles of your life will cease to exist any longer. Death will never be a part of your life again, because the life in heaven is eternal, meaning days without end. What a glorious time that'll be. You know, that ought to be something that causes us to be excited and to live every day to the best of our ability. Because there's coming a day that no matter how much trouble you had in this life, how many disappointments you had, it doesn't matter how many lost ones you loved and how much sorrow or grief that you had, it will no longer exist. I don't know how a promise could be made to you and I that could be any greater or more desiring than the promise that Almighty God has made to his children. Now, faith is the substance or the assurance of hope. The assurance of hope literally is the faith that dwells in you. And I know you have a hope that goes beyond this life. The evidence of things not seen. Do you believe in God because you've seen God literally with your naked eye? No man is able to look upon God, nor has any man ever seen God. In the Old Testament, God allowed the children of Israel to look at his hinder parts, you might say, the backside, but no man could stand in the presence of God and live. But we have great evidences that God exists. Great evidence. As a matter of fact, we're told in Romans chapter 1 that all men have the evidence that there is a God in heaven, and they're all without excuse. Now, that doesn't mean all men have faith. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. The fool says there isn't any God. Now, a lot of folks will tell you that the fool has faith. You just got to go down, dig down deep inside the fool and get the faith to rise up. That's not so. Faith is something that was given to you as a gift. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is a definition of it. The assurance of hope that you have is an evidence of your faith. It's not because you've seen God, but you've seen his creation. One of the greatest evidences that you belong to God is that you have a hope in Christ. A hope in Christ that goes beyond this life. Do you hope for a better day? Do you hope for a place where sickness and illness and troubles and challenges will not be a part of your life any longer? You have that hope, and you only have it because you have the faith that was given to you as a gift by Almighty God. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and begin to look. I want to look at the inward faith a little bit, and then we'll look at this, what I call outward faith. Without inward faith, you really don't have the desire to exercise or walk by faith. No man that has not been given the gift of faith is going to walk in faith toward God. That's just not going to happen. Men try to see that happen. Men claim that can happen. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than they ought to think." In other words, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, that you're better than somebody else, you know more than somebody else, or that you're more important than somebody else. "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." What is the measure of faith? It's the faith that God planted in your heart and soul when he quickened you and made you alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's intrinsic faith. It does not increase. It does not decrease. You know, there's something common to all Christians, whether they come to this church or go to another denomination. They believe Jesus Christ is Savior. That's a commonality among Christians, true Christians, that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he died. And your sins were nailed on that cross when he died. And that he rose out of the grave. That's a commonality to all Christians. We believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He died for our sins. And he rose for our justification. We believe in a place called heaven. Another commonality to Christianity, whether you're a Primitive Baptist or any others. Why do you believe that? Did you just come to that decision? Why do Christians have that in common? We believe that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. I don't know of any Christians that truly do not believe that. There are religions that don't believe that Jesus Christ, they claim to be Christian, but they're not. Jesus Christ was the living Word. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was God. We have a lot of commonalities. Now, there are discrepancies between what man does and what God did, and we have differences there. But I'm looking at the things that are common to Christians, and that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That heaven is a real place. It's not some fallacy of our minds. How do we have that? It exists, and one day we plan to live there because God said we would. "Because I live, ye shall live also." We sing that song. Because he rose from the tomb, you're going to rise from the grave. That's the strength of our faith. It's the measure of faith. It's intrinsic faith. It doesn't increase or decrease. But we have an outward faith. Some people call it gospel faith. Faith has different areas. Let's notice as we talk about this inward faith, and it's very clear in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. In Ephesians 2 and verse 8, let's get back and get verse 4 and 5. "For God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us." God is rich in mercy, and he loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, at some point in your life, you were drawn to him. You didn't come to him, you were drawn to him. "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," made you alive. He done the quickening. You didn't come and ask him to be quickened. He quickened you. You know, the Lord is sovereign in his work. When he sent redemption unto his people, that's what he sent. His covenant was ordered forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Not my name, not any other preacher's name. The name of Almighty God. "So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please." Isaiah 55 and 11. It shall accomplish that which I please. The Lord speaks, and it's sure. He speaks life into your heart when you're quickened. Verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." If you get nothing else out of this today, understand that a dead person, a spiritually dead person, has no desire whatsoever for spiritual things. I don't care how much you talk to the man. I don't care what kind of offer you make the man. God is not of an interest to that man. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The natural man, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. Not born of the Spirit, you ain't going to understand them, and you're not going to desire them. You're not going to want to know anything about them. He goes on in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Not by grace and your good efforts, not by grace and your good behavior, not by grace and your good walks. By grace are ye saved, period. He done the saving, we done the sinning. But let's go down to verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. There's that word through. Through the faith of Almighty God were you saved. And he goes on and he says, and that not of yourselves. That's one of the most important clauses in that verse and in the entire Bible. And that not of yourselves. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, when you were quickened, as it said in verse 5, and made alive, you were given through all, by Almighty God the gift of faith. And that faith is what made you know and understand and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You do that because God implanted faith in your heart and soul when he spoke his life-giving voice into your heart. And you begin to spiritually live. Did you know all things? Did you understand all things? The Bible tells us absolutely not. You were babes in Christ. You couldn't deal with strong meat. You couldn't handle the teachings of God's word because you couldn't understand them. That's why we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we're to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He goes on and says, it is the gift of God. It is faith that allows us to see the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is faith that allowed us to believe that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that an amazing statement there? God said if any man had anything to do with his salvation, he would walk around boasting of his great righteousness, of his great works, and all that he had done for Almighty God. You can't believe the amount of Christians that do just that. Friends, it was by God's mercy. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3 and 5. It's not by our good efforts. It's not by our good behavior. If you believe on Jesus Christ, it's because God has already touched your heart. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. You can't see the wind. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. You don't know where it went when it stops. But you can see the effects of the wind. You can see the effects of a child born of God's sovereign grace. Now there comes times when our faith wavers, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And unto the eyes of men, it appears that that person has no faith. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You know, that's one of man's greatest problems. He walks around trying to determine who God's children are and who there are, who's not God's children. God never put any of us on the earth for that purpose. God knoweth them that are his. Aren't you thankful he didn't put you here to determine? You know, I just hope and pray that I'm one, much less walk around in life trying to determine who is and who isn't. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship, not his workmanship plus ours. I go to one more verse and we'll move on. In Galatians chapter 5, this ought to clear up faith with anybody that ever understood or wanted to understand what faith is. We find the works of the flesh declared to us in the 5th chapter of Galatians. And following the works of the flesh, we see the fruit of the Spirit. You can't bear fruit of something that you don't have. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, you can't bear fruit of the Spirit of God. First of all, the spiritual things, Paul said, would be foolishness. They're only discerned or understood if you're born of the Spirit of God. It's very simple. Very simple. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The same word there, faith, is the same Greek word says persuasion. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Whether you believe it or not, if you have faith, you have it because when you were saved by God's grace, When you were quickened together with the Lord Jesus Christ, God implanted faith in your heart and your soul and enabled you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He enabled you to understand that God, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He enabled you to understand there's a place called heaven that Paul called paradise, that one day you're going to reside there. You're going to be there with those who went home to be with the Lord before you. We're going to be happy there. We're going to be full of joy there. We're not going to have sorrows or tears. We're not going to cry any longer. We believe that because God implanted faith. You and I have never seen God with the naked eye. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What hope do you have? Do you have that great hope of that great day? It's an evidence that you belong to Him. It's what helps you get along as you go down through life's journey, because the troubles of life come. In this world ye shall have tribulations. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Friends, that's so true. And the trouble doesn't end when you grow up out from a child and be an adult. Trouble stays with you all the days of your life. The Lord didn't tell you, I'll get rid of your trouble. He said, I'll help you get through your trouble. I'll carry you through your trouble. I'll give you the grace sufficient to go where you need to go, to deal with whatever challenge is set before you. But faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Without first being born of the Spirit of God, you will have no faith toward God. You can't walk by faith. You'll desire not God. A person that desires and loves the Lord is an evidence of a person who's had God's faith implanted in him when he was quickened and made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, the hour is coming, Jesus said, and now is. It's coming, and it now is when Jesus spoke these words. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Why didn't they all hear? Why didn't every dead person? No dead person can hear. Why didn't he say, come out of that grave when he spoke to Lazarus, instead of saying, Lazarus, come forth? Because he speaks to you. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows your name. It was written in the Lamb Book of Life. He's a personal Savior. He calls you by name into spiritual life. It's not some broad subject. If he had said, come out of the grave, every dead body on the earth would have come out of the grave. Verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Go to the cemetery and talk to the dead folks buried out there. Talk to them till the Lord comes back. Then one of them will respond to you. I don't care how good an offer you have for them. You can make them the best offer. Tell them what great things the Lord has in store. They'll never respond to you. Most people can't understand that spiritual deadness is on the same equal level, the Lord says, as physical death. Unless you're made alive spiritually, you're just like the person that's physically dead, who cannot function, who cannot bring forth any words, cannot bring forth any fruit. But most people just cannot grasp that. They cannot understand it because they live and breathe. But the Bible declares it through and through. Now, I want to move on. That's what I call inward faith. That's a faith that God blessed you with when you were born of the Spirit of God. It doesn't increase. It doesn't decrease. It's what gives you hope in heaven. It's what makes you know that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. It's what gives you the hope that you have in this life, even though you have not seen the Lord, and even though you have not witnessed many of these things. But you see the creation. You understand the desire you have in your heart. And it's all the evidence that you need. The unregenerate person may never understand that. He just can't see it. He can't embrace it. How could you believe on such a thing? You know, when you think about evolution, you know, it takes more of their faith in men to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. Did you know that's one of the biggest theories that was ever sought out by man? It's got more holes in it than creation ever had. It's full of holes. There's nothing that you can find. You know, they say, well, there was this matter out there, this atom, and some force of electrical energy struck the atom, and all of a sudden a random process began, and here come this and here come that. The question I have is, like in a documentary we took our kids to see years ago called Expel, No Intelligent Design. Problem was, where did the atom come from? Where did the bolt of lightning come from? Where did the strike of energy come from? They had no answer. Evolution has more holes in it than creation ever had. When you read the Word of God, and there are many scientists who are creationists, and they line up with the Word of God. You can't make someone who's not born of the Spirit of God have faith in God. You can't make them believe in God. I don't care how hard you try. Now, we can learn and grow in grace and knowledge if we've been touched by God's sovereign grace. And we ought to, because it'd strengthen our outward faith and let us live, go forward as we live. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's begin to look at the outward faith here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." What does it mean to lean not to thine own understanding? Let's look at Abraham for a minute. God called upon Abraham, the father of faith, the one who walked by faith, to leave the land of his nativity, all things that were familiar to him, and to go where God said he was going, to go. Not knowing what lied ahead, not knowing what dangers he might encounter, what challenges he might be faced with, he just went. He just went. That's trusting in the Lord. You know, you and I know certainly me, we want understanding, don't we? If we begin down some path, we want to know something about what lies ahead. Are there any dangers? Are there any obstacles? Are there any challenges that we might not want to face? You know, if we can see far enough ahead, we might choose not to go down that road, mightn't we? Is that faith? Abraham didn't know where he was going. But because the Lord instructed him to go and he trusted in the Lord, that's what faith's all about, trusting in the Lord. God give us this intrinsic faith. Now we're to strengthen our outward faith and believe in God. You know, there's an amazing thing about Christians to me. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in heaven. They believe that he went to the cross of Calvary, that he died for our sins and rose for our justification, that he's not still in the tomb. We all believe that. But I believe many of us do not believe that Jesus is intimately involved with our everyday life while we journey here on the earth. We believe what Jesus said. I mean, we believe in Jesus Christ, but we don't always believe what he said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We as human beings and even as God's children, we desire to understand everything that we do. We want to know what lies ahead. We want to know what dangers are there. We want to know how the outcome might be. Therefore, we might make the choice not to go that way. You know, we preached a while back on Abraham and Lot. Abraham walked by faith, Lot walked by sight. You know, the first indication of where most of God's children are, Lot looked up and he seen that well-watered plain. He dwelt in the cities of the plain. Matter of fact, we're told that that well-watered plain was similar to the Garden of God, the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine what he saw? He saw a life of success and prosperity and the pleasant things of this earth. He saw that. He dwelt in those cities and he dwelt in his tent and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. He knew what lied ahead. He seen there were some good days to come. On the other hand, he could have took the desert like Abraham. He could have went out into a place that he had probably questioned. Am I going to be able to survive? Am I going to be able to make it? Is there going to be wild beasts out there? What kind of challenges might I face that I might not be able to overcome? See, Lot wasn't trusting in the Lord. Abraham was. They're both children of God. The Bible declares that without a doubt. But Lot was walking by sight. He was not trusting in the Lord with all thine heart. He was leaning to his own understanding. And so often that's what we do. We want to understand where we're going, what's going to happen, and how it's going to affect us. And if the way looks too rough, more than likely we won't go down that path. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We've got a promise that I believe Abraham had. Abraham's faith was great. You remember when Abraham was called upon by God to take his only son Isaac and to offer him as a burnt offering? Abraham didn't question God, did he? You know, Abraham wondered. He knew God was going to handle this some way. He knew that he was a God of judgment, but also that he was a God of mercy and grace. Abraham must have thought, well, if I slay my son, the Lord will return him back to life. I don't know exactly what Abraham thought, but he didn't question God. He went. He just knew God somehow or other, some way would make this right, and take care of the situation that he was put in. If you'd have had that light and that journey to go forth, would you have taken your son down that road? Your daughter down that road? Would you have offered your son or daughter as a burnt offering if the Lord asked you to? The Lord spared Isaac's life. Abraham said the Lord will provide unto himself a sacrifice, and he did. Abraham didn't know how that was all going to turn out before he went, but he trusted in the Lord with all his heart. He wasn't leaning to his own understanding, because our own understanding would have told us, I ain't going there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go kill my own son. When Abraham took off to the desert, he told Lot, he said, you take the left, I'll take the right. You take the right, I'll take the left. But Lot looked up and he seen that plain, lush and green. He seen prosperity. He seen cities. He loved to be around people, enjoyed that. Loved to probably party. There ain't no telling what Lot liked. He seen the city life and all the glamour that went with it, because he'd been down into Egypt. So he walked by sight. He thought he knew what lied ahead. Abraham, he didn't know what lied ahead in that desert plain where it wasn't so lush, it wasn't so green. But because God told him to go and he trusted in the Lord, because he had faith in God, strong faith, he went. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In Matthew chapter 17, we spoke of this. The same event took place in Mark chapter 9. There was a man who had a son, and he said his son was a lunatic. He took his son to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't cure him. Then Jesus answered in verse 17, and said, O faithless and perverse generation. He's not talking to the disciples. If you go to the account in Mark chapter 9, he spoke to the Father. And he said unto him, he talked about the Pharisees. And no telling where this man had been all the days of his life, seeking a cure for this lunatic son, that he had. The Bible tells us he had a devil in him. Very interesting when you think about that. And we're not going to preach on that today, but very interesting. He said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You remember what Jesus told the man in the account in Mark? He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man of the father, the boy's father, cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see, that's where we are. We've been given faith to believe in Jesus Christ. We've been given faith to believe in heaven. But I think sometimes we don't believe that God is going to be an integral part of our life right here and now. We really don't. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. You know, children of God are taken with unbelief day in and day out. Do we pray believing? Do we fast believing? I believe it deals with this here in these teachings. Because of your unbelief. Then he talks about this grain of mustard, and he talks about this mountain. The grain of mustard, you know, a lot of times we talk about casting that mountain into another place, as it says here, removing it. But think about a mustard seed against a mountain. A mountain is tall and big, important, mighty. This mustard seed is feeble and weak and basically worthless. We don't give any thought to that. How much thought would you actually give to a grain of mustard versus seeing Mount Everest or Mount McKinley? Seeing a mountain like that in its massiveness would seem important to you, whereas that grain of mustard. But I believe one of the lessons the Lord's teaching us here, it's not about the quantity of our faith. It's about the quality. It's about really believing. You know, when Jesus stood by the treasury and they began to cast into the treasury, the Pharisees came and the rich folks and cast in of their excess. And then the poor widow woman cast in two mites. And she was more justified than they all. It was the quality. It was what came from the heart. It wasn't the amount. You know, it's not about how often we pray. It's about how we pray. Do we pray to the Lord from the heart? Do we pray believing? He said in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth out, but by prayer and fasting. if thou can believe. I believe it's one of the most difficult things. The children of Israel crossed over the Red Sea. They had a fire by night and a cloud by day. They seen more miracles than probably anybody that ever lived upon the earth. Miracles of God. God rained down manna and they ate and they never put forth a hand. He sent quail that covered the ground because of their complaining. And yet they murmured and complained. And they stayed out there, all that were 40 years and younger, and walked around that mountain 11 days away from the promised land, and that's where they died because of their unbelief. That's what outward faith is. It's really believing, not just believing that Jesus is God. It's believing what Jesus said about you and your life right here and now. Do you believe that if you can really believe in your heart and pray with the right kind of faith that all things are possible to you? Do you believe God answers your prayers? Do you believe that God will never forsake you or leave you, that you may boldly say God is your helper, the Lord Jesus Christ will really help you? Do you really believe he'll help you? Do you believe, as it says in Psalms 46:1, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble? Do you believe when trouble comes your way that God is truly a very present help? That he is truly your refuge and your strength? Isaiah 53:3 says that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Do you believe that Jesus knows your sorrows? We all have sorrows, far more sorrows than we want to have. We all deal with grief, sometimes serious grief, bereavement, loss of loved ones. Do you believe that Jesus is truly acquainted with your personal grief and that he will comfort you? That he will give you the grace sufficient to get through? Do we really believe that? Or would he pray, Jesus help us, thinking that, well, maybe he will, maybe he won't? Do we pray believing? I mean, I believe it's a powerful thing in our lives. What kind of faith do we have? Unbelief's been a terrible problem among God's people throughout the ages. Even the disciples dealt with this. These men who followed Jesus Christ and witnessed all the miracles. You know, I'm like anybody else. I think, man, if I'd have seen all that, them things, I'd have never wavered. My faith had been so strong. But friends, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. We're all the same. After a little bit of time, we'd have forgotten, and it went away. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Do you believe Jesus really cares for you? He cares about your sorrows, your grief, the position you have in this life? Do you believe that his grace is sufficient for you? You know, what we all want is Jesus to remove all our problems, take away all our troubles, and that we just live this nice, merry life. Jesus declared you're going to have your troubles. But what he told you, when your focus is upon him, when you pray believing, when you walk in faith, and faith is the anchor of your soul, he says, I'll see you through the most difficult times that you can possibly imagine. He's seen Paul through those times. He's seen Abraham through those times. You know, when you think about Abraham, we can't sit back and say his journey was a piece of cake. He was out in the wilderness. Matter of fact, there was one time that his faith slacked. Great famine in the land, and he chose to take refuge down in Egypt, to go down to the world and seek his refuge instead of waiting on God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. It's a difficult task, I'll tell you. We all want to understand where we're going, how it's going to go, where we're going to end up at. Is life going to be a disaster? We know that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it tells us that he knows the feelings of our infirmity. Do you believe that Jesus knows how you feel? He knows what troubles you. He knows how hard a time you have dealing with troubles in this life. Do you believe that he is a very present help? Do you believe that he can give you the grace necessary to get beyond whatever it is that bothers you, whether it be health or problems or loss of loved ones or loss of jobs or whatever your circumstances may be? Do you believe that Jesus is a very present help in trouble? The Bible tells us that he is. Sometimes we may question that because of our unbelief. But God is true. His word is true. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God cannot lie. He is a very present help. He knows where you're at. He knows your circumstances. When we go to the Lord, we need to go to Him believing. You believe on Him, but do you believe that He will really help you? I'm going to read a few verses and close. How do we become stronger in faith? Faithful to assemble ourselves is one thing. Faithful to pray. But do it from the heart. Do it believing that God, that you matter to God. That you're not some insignificant little old I that doesn't matter. We're told to pray about everything. You know, sometimes in my lifetime, I've thought, well, there's certain things I ought not to pray about. God's not interested in that, but He is. Pray about your troubles, whatever they are. Ask God to help you get through those troubles and believe that He will give you an answer, that He will help you. And if He doesn't eliminate them, that He will give you the grace to get through them, because God promised He will. He tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We know He's talking to His children, because in verse 1 it says He's speaking to those who have obtained like precious faith as the Apostle Peter. Like precious faith. It says in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, speed, add to your faith virtue, praise. Praise God. You know, that's exactly what David said in a very disturbing time in his life when he was depressed. He said, praise God. Praise God. Hope in God. Praise God in the great distress that I'm going through, the great problems that I'm dealing with. Add to your faith virtue or praise, and virtue knowledge, knowing. Grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Understand what Jesus said about you and your life, and how that He will be there, a very present help in trouble. How He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't just read it, believe it, because He promised it. Make God's promises your own. Make them a part of your life. These are not just words that were written. Our God is faithful whether we are or not. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing that song. He is a faithful God, and what He promised, His promise He'll keep, whether we ever keep one or not. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. And temperance, patience, endurance. Endure. Endure a flight of afflictions. Endure the loss of loved ones. Endure. Because one day we can see afar off that this is all going to end. That's what keeps us going. Life is going to be perfect one day. And whatever troubles you now will never exist in that place called paradise. That ought to be enough to excite every one of us to continue on, to be faithful to the cause, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged. He was already cleansed from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. When the troubles of life come, because you're God's elect, when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when you pray believing, when you have faith, sincere faith, and you believe that the Lord's going to take care of you. However it turns out, He's going to take care of you. When we get sick and we get ready to go home to be with the Lord, it's possible, like King Hezekiah, that God added to him 15 years. He may add to your life. But one way or the other, He was going to deliver him. He was going to deliver him out of his troubles and his sickness, or He was going to deliver him to heaven to be with Him forever and ever, never to suffer again the troubles of this life. Understand, God is with us. When David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a walk in this life that understands that God is walking alongside you. Like that poem we read of footprints. You know, sometimes when there's only one set of prints, it's because God's carrying you through the troubles and the difficulties of this life. And I believe that. There's many times that we encounter those difficulties. By faith, we continue on. God, give us the measure of faith. And now, as that song said, let us walk in faith. Let faith be the anchor of our soul. Believe what God said. You know, I'm working on this myself. We all have a tendency to know that God is God and heaven is real, and that he died for our sins, but will he really help us? Will he really be there in our time of trouble? Will he give us deliverance? He will. It don't always come in the way we want it, but that's all right. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it is. It was sufficient for Paul. Sufficient. It'll be sufficient for you and I. May God bless us to understand this. May God bless us to be a believing people. Because great is thy faithfulness. The faithfulness for our God to bring forth his promises to us in our life. I thank you for your attention, and may God bless you.